Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Praise Yahweh. We want to greet those who have joined us on iChurch in English and in Spanish. Thank you all for being with us today. And if you would like to see this ministry do the things that it can do and want to do, you can make a contribution. You can do it there on your computer. Thank you, and hopefully you enjoy the message. Praise Yahweh.
Thank you. Mercy to heaven.
I want to talk a moment about the election. How many of you know that Tuesday, the 7th, is primary elections for the state of California? How many of you knew that? The election coming up, the general election after this primary is over, the general election is in November, probably one of the most important elections that this country has ever had. So that makes the general election the most important election that this country has ever had. It is important that every one of you vote among whatever your preference are. Hopefully it is the right preference, but some people are a little bit off kilter, so they can believe things that are not as though they were. So, but vote among. I want to read from Smoot. You call it, what do you call it? Exodus. I call it Smoot from the Hebrew. Of course, you know I always use Hebrew rather than English because this is the original writing was in Hebrew. And you lose a lot in translation. 25th chapter, first verse. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Then I want to skip down to the 8th verse. And let them make me a kadosh, says their sanctuary, but a kadosh, a holy place. Let them make me a holy place that I may dwell. With, that I may dwell among them. And that word for dwell is betok. And it really means that I may dwell in the center. I want to be in the center of my people. I want all of my people to revolve around me. I am the center. And the reason I believe the Holy Spirit shows this is that many times, because Yahweh is spirit, we are taught that God has no needs. God has no wants. And because Yahweh is spirit, it's hard for us to see him as a person or as a personality, having mental capabilities, having emotions, and having characteristics. And many times we have the feeling that we have a need, but Yahweh, God, has none. We are emotional about some things, but Yahweh, God, is never emotional. And I think it takes away from us an understanding that we are relating to someone who has feelings just like we do. Have you ever considered that? If you have a friend, you know they have feelings, so you don't want to hurt their what? The feeling. A lot of believers, we look at Yahweh in the abstract. You know, we can't see him, we can't taste him, and we can't smell him. So he's not a person. He's not really real. He is something that cannot be understood totally. And so when we are relating to him as in our lives and the things we do, we don't necessarily see him as being affected by the things we do. We don't see him grieving over the things we do. We don't see ourselves breaking his heart. We're just doing stuff. It's us, you know what I mean? But here we see Yahweh has a need. He says here, he spoke to Moshe or Moshi, whichever you want to call him, she might be better. I want you to ask my people for an offering for me. They didn't initiate this. Yahweh initiated this. I want you to ask my people for an offering for me. But I have some stipulations to the request. Don't force them. If they don't want me in their midst, don't force them to give. Because I don't want, if they don't want me, I don't want to force myself upon them. Does that sound like a God who has no feelings? Huh? I know some of us force ourselves upon people. You know, we in love with you, and hey, I don't care what you say, I'm going to keep on forcing myself upon you. But Yahweh says, only those who are willing take my offering. Because I desire to dwell in the center of my people. And so Moshe set up, he did Yahweh's word, and many of the people came and they gave, and surely their hearts was right. But you know, folks change. You know what I mean? They change. So they came and gave, and Moshe set up this beautiful tabernacle there in the desert, with it being right in the center of the camp of Yahweh's people. Three tribes on every side. Everybody could see God. Everybody could participate with God. And everybody could see what he was doing and be able to relate to his power and his glory. And he was a pillar of fire by night. Actually, he was a light by night. When they marched through the desert by night, he was the light. He was a cloud by day. And he was the center of his people. He says, I have a need. I have a need to be in the center of my people. I have a need to participate with my people. And my need is drawn from my love for them. I don't want to be a God out there in Never Never Land who sometimes throws down lightning. But I want to be a God that participates with them every day. I want them to see me every day. I want them to walk with me every day. I want them to interact with me every day. And I want them to know that I'm their God. And I want them to know that they are my people. And not only did he want to be with his people, but he wanted to be their guide. He wanted to be the one that they followed. Now look at Bar Medbar. You call it? What do you call it? All right. Ninth chapter and the 15th verse. And on the day that the Kadosh, the tabernacle, or I'm just trying to think of the other name, but I couldn't. And on that day that the tabernacle or the Kadosh was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always, I want you to notice always, Yahweh wanted to be always with his people, always. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. So if somebody say there was fire by night, you say it only appeared as fire. But it was not fire. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tent. At the commandment of Yahweh, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of Yahweh, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tent. So as soon as the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. Yahweh, while he had a need to dwell in the midst of his people, he was anxious to dwell in the midst of his people. And so whenever he moved, they moved. If he stood still, they stood still. If it was by night, they still moved when he moved. If it was by day, they followed the cloud. And this was somewhat ideal. Don't you think so? Here you are with your God, and you can see him all the time, and you can follow him all the time. He is leading the way for you. Hallelujah. Somebody should say praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The reason he wanted to lead was not because he's selfish and wanted his way, but because he knew he was the only one that knew the way. And as long as they followed him, they couldn't go wrong. They would come to the desert where there was no water, and he gave water from a rock. He rained down, what is it? Manna. When you translate manna from the Hebrew, it means what is it? They didn't know what it was, so they said, what is it? Well, that's the word, manna. What is it? They never named it. They just said, what is it? But one thing they knew, it was food from heaven. So God fed them daily with food from heaven. And it was a unique food. You could boil it, bake it, roast it. Whatever you needed, any way you liked it. And it kept your body healthy and strong. And your age, you didn't age, and you didn't, even your clothes didn't grow old. Wow. Man. Somebody said, I'd like to be back there. No, you don't want to be back there. Because it was a great relationship. It was the best that they could have with Yahweh at the time. But sometimes relationships don't last. You hear what I said? They start out great. Y'all know what I mean? And you're mightily in love. You know what I'm trying to say? And you don't want nobody but that person in your life. And somewhere down the line, feelings change. None of you have ever experienced that, I'm sure. And we don't want to admit that the feelings change, so we all go along playing the game. You know, doing the program. I love you, yeah, I love you, yeah. But you see, when you don't really feel it, you can't keep up that appearance forever. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about? 40 years, man, they went through the desert. Now, it wasn't Yahweh's fault. It wasn't because he was a bad leader. Actually, he led them to the border of the promised land in about 3 weeks. And so they said, send out the spies, spy the land, know how we should go in and what we should do. And they went in, the spies went in, and they came back, all of them except about three, with a bad report. They say, we went into the land and we saw the sons of Anak, the giants, and we was tiny in our sight. not in the giant's sight, but we were tiny in our sight. We looked like grasshoppers to them, in our sight. And they refused to cross over. It wasn't God's fault. They were God's people. He was dwelling in their midst. They had seen him. Had seen him when the Amalekites came upon them. And they sent out Hoshea, the general of the army, to fight them. And the Amalekites was mighty and strong, but Moshe held up his hand. And as long as he held up his hand to Yahweh, the children of Israel prevailed. So he got tired, and Aaron and Hur came and set him down on a rock and held his hand. And the children of Israel prevailed. So when Hoshea came back to the camp, Moshe named him Yehoshua. Or not Yehoshua, really he named him Yehoshea. Yahweh's deliverance, not salvation. He was Yahweh's deliverer, Yahweh's deliverance. And so the people today think that Yehoshua, they changed it to Yehoshua. That was not what Moshe named. He named him Yehoshua. His name was already Hoshea. And he just put the Y and the Saray on it, E, and named him Ye. You know, the Saray sound like a, looks like an E, sound like a A. See, only my Hebrew students know that. Y'all don't know that. But he named him Yehoshua. Now, every time they had a need, Yahweh provided the need. But because they didn't have it within them to love him like he loved them, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been in love with somebody? Don't raise your hand. It's too late if I raise a hand. But I'm going to ask another question. How many of you thought the person loved you? Raise your hand. If you raised your hand before. And how many of you found out that the person didn't love you like you thought they loved you? And the way you found out, they went a-whoring. Now, that's not a bad word. That's in the Bible. They went a-whoring. See, when people don't love you, they will play on you. They will find somebody else to fill that void that has been emptied because they love have left them the love that they love you with. People can't do without love. Let me say that again. People can't do without love. Everybody needs love. God knows everybody needs love. You know, I was a strong young man, you know what I mean? You know, could leap over walls and run through troops, but one thing I needed love. And my whole life was seeking love. Nobody's life is fulfilled without love. And when they don't have love, they'll take the first train smoking. Y'all know what I mean? They'll hitch their caboose to the first thing come by. So here was a people who had their God in their midst, who loved them, provided for them, needed to be with them, but they didn't love him like he loved them. And they would hitch their caboose to the first thing coming by. Over again. Sometimes relationships that don't work out will never work out. Sometimes you got to come to the conclusion, this ain't working and it ain't gonna work. Somebody say help us. Yeah, I want to help you. Lord knows I want to help you. You got to stop holding on to stuff or the folks who don't want you. God was holding on to a people who didn't want him, who didn't love him. But one day, he had to come to grips with that. They just don't want me. And that broke his heart. See, when you look at God, you think God don't feel nothing? You think he don't feel something? And because of that, you'll do stuff. Because you don't think he feels. You know, you don't think he's hurt. Look at Bar Medbar. You're right in it right now. But just go to the 11th chapter. And just go to the 4th verse. And the mixed multitude. You know, it's almost impossible for even translators of the Bible to not have their agenda and many times their racial agenda. One thing about we who believe in Yeshua, we don't have a racial agenda. All people. If you believe in Yeshua, you are brother, you are sister. And there is no consideration of race. Because we all are the children of Yahweh. So they put down here the mixed multitude. You see what they're trying to do? These people couldn't go wrong except there were some folks that was mixed among them. Help us, God. And the ASAP mean the assembly. And the assembly of the multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. They begin to look out. It sure look good over there. Isn't that foxy? That's so fine. That's fox food. Y'all don't know, you young people know that. That's what it was a few years ago. You know, this fox food. It's not that anymore. They fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Mizraim, or you might say Egypt, freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. All the smelly stuff. You know? We are with God now. And we got a food that will keep us. And we'll, if we eat it, our bodies will stay healthy. But because we don't love the provider, we start remembering what it was when I was back in Misrai, back in Egypt. You know, we relate that now when you was back in the world. You remember the melon. You remember the leeks. You remember the onions. Now that's people. You remember the garlic. You remember the good time in the bar when you did the line dance. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you say, we're tired of this old church stuff.
Say it like that.
We had a lot of fun before we came over here. But listen to this. But now, sixth verse, our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this. What is it? Before our eyes. And then in 21:5 they said, we just sick of this vile white bread. They've come to a point where God can't hold on no longer. They are making it openly know that they're sick of him. They're sick of following him. They're sick of eating his food. They want some leeks. And they want some melon. And they want some garlic. And they want some onion. But they can't have it here with God. They got to go back to Misrai. Sometimes you can't make a relationship work. God done did everything he could.
Come on now.
Hello.
He done did everything he could. He done fed them. He done led them. He done protected them from the enemy.
Come on.
Huh? He's been a light to them by night that they would not stumble. He's been a covering for them. When Balak came up to have Balaam curse him, he said to Balaam, you better not curse him. And Balak said, let's go to the other side. Say, maybe you can see it from a different perspective over here. You know, sometimes it's how you look at things. So Balak took Balaam to the other side. He looked at him. He said, I can't curse him. So he said, wait a minute, let me take you where the stragglers are. You know where those who play in church. And see if you can deal, if you can curse them from that angle. And he took them over there. And finally, Balaam said, Yahweh has blessed them, and I can't curse them. But, I can tell you how to make them curse themselves. See, I can't curse them, but I can tell you how to make them curse themselves. Here's what you do. You give them your daughters. Give them your daughters for marriage into their son. Give them your sons to marry within their daughter, with their daughter. And God has said, don't do that. See, you can't marry an unbeliever and they're going to leave you alone. When you get ready to go to church, why you have to go to church all the time? If you get ready to give your tithe, man, all they want them preachers can do is taking your money. Y'all may have to come to grips with it. Look at Maha. You call it Micah. And here, Yahweh comes to grip with the fact that his people don't want him, that they don't love him. And when you hear God, you tell me he's a God without feelings. Third verse, sixth chapter of Maha. Oh, my people, what have I done unto you? You know, you sound like a man who is, his wife or woman want to leave him, and he thought they were happy. And then she throw it on him, I'm going to leave. I'm not happy. And his first response is, what have I done? What have I done? I thought you loved me. What have I done? Here's a God who humbles himself to the degree whose heart is so broke that he says to them, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied you or put trouble on thee? Testify against me. Tell me where I went wrong. The creator of the whole universe loves this people. And he would say to them, what did I do? What did I do wrong? When he said testify, I guess what it means, tell me. Tell me where I went wrong. What I did to you. Can you imagine? A saved person turning against their God. And he says, what did I do? What did I do to you? What trouble did I make for you that you would treat me like this? Testify, tell. And this is the implication is, if you tell me where I went wrong, I'll make it right. Yes, come on now. But you can't make it right with somebody who don't love you. Am I right? Somebody should say amen. 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 No matter what you do, no matter how much money you spend, no matter how many cars you buy, no matter how many houses you build for, you can't make it right. When I said that, sometimes we're taught Yahweh has no need, he has no desires, he has no emotion. We get that idea that's true. That is not true. He He said, testify against me. For I bought thee out of the land of Mizraim. I redeemed thee from the houses of servants, from the house of slaves. You were a slave, mistreated, abused, and I delivered you. Let me get a little scenario. Here's a woman. Her family is dirt poor. She ain't never had nothing in her life. And you go and you fall in love and you bring her out of that little shack down in the woods. You dress her up in silk and satin. You put on her golden slippers. You dress her down. You bring her into your big house. And all that she needs, you provide for her. And then she still turned over. He said, don't you remember? You were a slave down in Mizraim. They abuse you. They abuse your women. They kill your babies. And they work you day and night. And I came. Yes, and I love you. And I redeem you. Took you away from that situation. I sent before you Moshe and Aharon and Miriam. I gave you good people to lead. Moshe was the humblest man and the humblest man in the whole world. He didn't abuse you. I gave you leaders who wouldn't abuse you, who wouldn't take advantage of you. All my people. Almost making me cry. All my people, remember now. Stop and consider now. Think about Balak, king of Moab, consulted with, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of Yahweh. You know what I did when they tried to curse you. But you made things hard, and here's what you said. See, when you look at Yahweh wrong, when you look at him from a perspective that he has no feeling, that he all he wants is for you to just serve him. You missed the whole point.
Come on now.
And he said, this is what you have said. Wherewith shall I come? Six verse. Wherewith shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the Most High? Shall I come to him with burnt offering and calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams? They're saying it. See, they're making him so big and so hard that you can't serve him. With thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil, this is an impossible situation. But that's what they said. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. You know, that sounds kind of reasonable, don't it? You want too much. And I really don't know how much you want. Mm. And then Yahweh answered. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of thee? But to do justly. Just to do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do justly and to love mercy. Hesed would be the Hebrew word, but it really doesn't explain a great deal. But Elios, Hesed would be the Hebrew word, but it doesn't explain a lot. Elios is the Greek word, which gives a better understanding. It is to have sympathy, pity for the condition of others, to be able to empathize, place yourself in their shoes, and to be ready to help them out of their distresses as much as you can. He says, I don't know where you got all this stuff about 10,000 rivers of oil. I don't know where you got all this stuff about giving your firstborn for the sins of your soul. I don't know where that came from, but here's what I've showed you. I've showed you to just do the right thing. I've showed you to love mercy. In other words, love the idea of helping others and being able to empathize with their troubles. And to walk humbly with your God. See, that's all I've ever wanted. But nothing I can do now. Your relationship has failed. I can't do nothing with you now. I can't make you want me. I can't make you love me. So I ain't gonna try. If people were more like that, they'd all be better off. I have seen men who tried to make women love them. Y'all brothers know what I'm talking about? You know, my mother's like, God, if you don't want me, I don't want you. But do you think Yahweh is giving up? Not on your life. Not. Now, he won't be able to deal with all of them, but that's something he can make a new situation with. Look at Yirmiyahu quickly. We are running out of time. Yirmiyahu 31. I might extend the time a minute or two if you're getting something. Now, here's Yahweh talking again. Behold, the day come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Mizraim. God said, that relationship didn't work. So I'm going to make a new covenant. It won't be the same thing that I had with your father, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. I was a good man. He's not a man, but he's related to his brother. But this shall be the covenant that I will make. And this word make is harat, that I will cut. See, the idea of cut brings about blood. The covenant that I will cut with them will be a blood covenant. I will cut with the house of Israel, and after those days, said Yahweh, I will put my Torah in their inward parts. And it's the same word, betok. I will put it in their center. This time, the last time, I was in the middle of the camp, the center of the camp. This time, I'll be in the center of their lives, each and every one of them.
Come on.
And write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This covenant. This is a blood covenant I'm going to cut. But it's going to be in the inside. Now, it won't be in the outside, in the center of the camp. But it'll be in the inside of their lives. Look at Yeshayahu 28. And I'm running. But you can't leave until I leave. Now don't get up here and put your hand there and start tipping out. Get your finger down and sit down. Yeshayahu 28:11. Now here's how I read in English. I'll read it to you in Hebrew. For with stammering lips and in another tongue I will speak unto this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you shall call the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And here's what the Hebrew said, it's much more understandable. For in the stammering of lips and a tongue, in the stammering of lips, and there's anybody out there who want to question whether my Hebrew translation is correct, do so. If you're watching me on iChurch, research the word. And then write me. If I'm wrong, now don't you write me and say, this is the way it is. You write me and send me the Hebrew that you read and indicate what you said the words meant. So don't just write me and say, well, you wrong. No. You got to show me.
Amen.
For in stammering of lips, and see, I know what this meant. I know what this means because I've gone through it. For with stammering of lips and a tongue, afterward, he will speak unto this people. He's talking about later, afterward, in stammering of lips and a tongue, he will speak to these people afterward, later on. 12th verse, which says unto them, this is from the rest that cause the weary to rest. This is my Hebrew translation. And this is from the restorer of the rest. And they will not be willing to hear. You say, when they hear this tongue and they see this stammering of lips, and they're coming forth from that stammering of lips will be a tongue. And this tongue is saying unto them, that you've been looking for, this is the rest which caused the weary to rest. And this is from the restorer of that rest. But they will not be willing to believe. They'll say, he spoke in a language. They'll say, it was a dialect he talked about. But he said, Aton. Now, let me clean it up. Acts 2. Most all of you know that one. But now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. See, he says, the next time, I'm going to put it where? In the inward. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, it didn't say there came a rushing mighty wind. Because I heard some people say, well, where'd the wind? Did you hear the wind? It didn't say there was a wind. It said as a sound, as a rushing mighty, and it filled the house, all the house where they were sitting. The sound filled the room. You know, everybody could hear that sound where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. Stammering lips. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak in other tongues. Or this is another tongue. As the Spirit gave them. The brokenhearted God who said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. But it won't be the same covenant that I made with your fathers where I dwelt in the middle of the assembly in a tent. The next time, I'm going to put it in the midst of their hearts, and I'm going to write it upon their heart, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. And then he went on to say, in another place, that they will not have to say to any of them, know ye Yahweh, for they all will know me for themselves. They all will know me for themselves. This now, if one of you want to leave, hey, if nothing I can do about it, but I still got the other one who know me. Because now it's not an assembly, a tent, and a bunch of folks who don't know me and don't love me. But now it's a group of people where I'm living in their heart. Hey, now I have realized my desire to be in the center of my people. This time. You don't have to tell me to know him. And I shouldn't have to tell you. If you got the Holy Ghost, if he's dwelling within the midst of your heart, I don't have to tell you to know him. I know him. And I've known him for 40 something years, going on 50 years. And I know he can keep you. He can keep you. He can keep you. I have been kept all of those years. And look, I've been around a long time. Y'all know that, don't you? I heard a young lady, I went to buy a sandwich the other day. And I bought the sandwich. And she said, "Do you want something to drink?" And I said, "Nah." So she said, "Well, you know, we give free drinks to seniors." You gotta realize, you know, you just gotta wake up. You can thank you all that, but in the end, you gotta realize what's really going on. I've been around for a long time, and I've served him for a long time. And I have filled myself with this word for a long time, and still do, every day. Minister Scott comes in sometimes, he says, "Every time I come here, you study it." And I'm still studying, my friend. Yahweh loves you. He's not going to give up on you. All he wants is for you to love him back and let him come to live in the center of your life. Bow your heads. There may be some of you here today. You're not saved. But you heard about a God who truly loves you. A God whose heart can be broken by those who he loves. If you're here today and you want a relationship with a God like that through Yeshua, I want to offer you that relationship right now. If you believe that you truly want to know him, that you truly want to have a relationship with him, I want you to raise your hand right here. I have one right here. Anyone else? You truly want to have a relationship with him. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Look, it's your decision. It's your decision. Decisions made for Yahweh is your own personal decision. Can't be made by anybody else for you. So if you're here today, we have one that raised his hand. Anyone else here today? Then I want that person to raise his hand to come up, come down. I want to pray for you personally. Just stand right in front of the rostrum here, my brother. So what is your name, my brother? Terrell. Give me your hand, Terrell. Terrell has come. This is a young man. And it is no doubt that he has tried all of the stuff out there that he thought would bring him some satisfaction. And now he has come here and he has heard the word that God loves him. He loved him so much that he gave his only begotten son to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Father, for Terrell, help him now. Enter his heart in a mighty way. In the name of Yeshua. Strengthen him. Show him that you are a life-changing God. Build a hedge around him. protect him from every hurt, harm, and danger. Protect him from the enemy that will come back to try to steal his soul. Give your angels charge around him to protect him in all of his ways, and let him become whole in you. We thank you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Terrell, I want you to go with these young. Oh, yeah, I want you to go with this young man here. He will talk.